On Community Conversation, we're going to be talking about the fact that April is Child Abuse Awareness Month, and I'm happy to have on the program with me to talk more about the topic and subject. I have Amanda Davis-Scott, who is the Program Director for the Lenawee County Child Advocacy Center. And Amanda, it's good to have you back on the program once again.
Thanks, Dale. It's good to be back.
And as well as we have State Representative Bronna Colley on the program as well. Hi, Bronna.
Hello, Dale. Great to be here.
It's great to have you with us. Well, Amanda, let's start off with you to tell us a little bit about the fact that April is Child Abuse Prevention Month and the reason for having such an awareness like that for this month, Amanda.
Yeah, absolutely, Dale. So it's a nationally recognized month, and I believe, and Brava, you might have to correct me here, I think it was a couple years ago we were able to actually have it recognized as a state prevention month as well in the state of Michigan. But the whole purpose of Child Abuse Prevention Month is really recognizing the importance of families and communities coming together, working together to strengthen families. And the goal is to prevent child abuse and neglect because, unfortunately, not only in our nation but also our state and our county, we do see a lot of child abuse and neglect, especially, you know, those children that we work with at the Child Advocacy Center here in Adrian.
Well, I know you have some statistics about the amount of interviews that you did in 2020, don't you, Amanda?
Yeah. So last year we had about, I believe it was 246 referrals for children that had been abused either sexually, severe physically, or witness to violent crimes that came through the CAC in 2020. And if you think about that, Dale, for a time, we were kind of shut down due to COVID.
Sure.
So it shows you even with that happening, we were still doing interviews and those numbers just continue to rise. That rose from 2019, I believe we had about 220. So there's around 26 more referrals. And at this point this year, we've had over 70 referrals. And if we continue this process, we're going to see more children come through the doors at the CAC than we did even last year.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, in talking about that, Amanda, is that the COVID pandemic certainly has put an impact on that situation and those numbers, as you referred to, didn't it?
I would say yes, and I would also say that I think we're going to see more to come of the effects of COVID with children that may not have been in the safest environment and not able to, you know, go to a safe place like their school or other organizations in the community. And I think some of those children, we're going to see more and more of those children come forward, unfortunately, with possible allegations because of that inability, you know, to leave that unsafe environment for such a period of time during COVID.
Bronna, I'll bring you in at this point, too, that there is a federal bill on how the child advocacy centers are funded. And it's federal legislation, but it's also going to affect what we receive in Michigan. Is that correct?
That is right. And just to follow up with what Amanda was saying about the increase that the Lenawee County Advocacy Center has seen in calls and in working with cases and how it has risen throughout the last year of everything. And it is expected that we will see more. And at the state level, there's conversation about the fact that not every child has even been back to school. And so that is often where the reporting might occur. And there is an expectation that there will be, very sad to say this, but an even greater increase in child abuse reports. And I have to give a shout out to all of the work that our Child Advocacy Center does. Thank you, Amanda, and everyone there that works on your team for what you do. Because without the work that you're doing right here, many of these children may not even tell their story, or they would not have a safe place to tell their story. You know, for the child and their family, you know this, Amanda, better than I do, but the effects of abuse can be felt long after the case is closed, and mm-hmm. the impact of that trauma can be devastating, often unreported. And what you're doing to work with them, to help them tell their story and not have to tell it too many times either, is, I hope, part of the the nurturing that's needed and the care that's needed to help them become healthy again at some point. So thank you for that. But it takes money to do it. And that is what this part is about. Actually, the situation has become dire before COVID. There is something called VOCA funds, V-O-C-A, and that stands for Victims of Crime Act. And that's a federal law, not a state law. And it was actually signed into law way back in 1984. And it simply funded grants for the state. And the money came right from prosecutions by the Department of Justice. So in the last couple of years, those dollars have been decreasing a lot, significantly. So I think they went down by 35% last year, and on the previous year, they went down by 25%. That's nationally. And then for Michigan, our victim service organizations, which are the types of organizations that can get these VOCA dollars through state grants, through the Department of Health and Human Services, well, those organizations have seen close to a 75% decline in this VOCA funding over the last 3 years. And that can directly impact places just like our Lenawee County CAC, or Child Advocacy Center. And so combined with the rise that Amanda was just talking about, it's a real problem. So Congress, not where I am, I work in Lansing, but in D.C., our United States Congress, just passed, I mean, I think just maybe a few weeks ago, middle of March anyway, a bipartisan bill called the VOCA Fix Act. It's longer than that, but that's the short term, VOCA Fix Act. And basically, it was making sure that those grant programs that have been established for each state in the original VOCA Act will continue to receive funding. That's it in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. Making sure that the dollars that come in from prosecution and so forth are going to be there for these organizations and help people, help the kids in this case, who've been the victims of crime or abuse. And what I love about this VOCA Fix Act that did pass the United States Congress is that it highlights the fact that it's the local organizations in each and every community that are best suited to meet the needs of that community that they serve, right? I mean, Lenawee County is not the UP. We're not Grand Rapids. We're not Detroit. We are Lenawee. And the same would be true for somewhere up in Marquette or Oakland County. And that's why another reason why this VOCA Fix Act is so important. So it'll help these survivors recover. And then translated as that passes, we hope it's in the United States Senate now. Amanda mm-hmm. might want to talk on where it goes next. Then that money will come to the state.
So just kind of piggybacking off of what Bron is saying, yeah, so we're currently waiting on a vote from the U.S. Senate. So currently our one of our senators, Senator Stabenow, she is actually a co-sponsor of the bill. But, you know, part of this is just kind of having our voices heard and just encouraging our senators to, you know, vote for this bill so we can move forward so that funding can still be available and we don't see a continued decline, which in turn, like Bronna was saying, that funds the majority of at least CACs in Michigan and a lot of CACs in the United States, but also other victim organizations. But, for example, like reaching out to Senator Peters right now would be awesome if individuals would be willing to do that, just to say, hey, you know, we want this. We want our CAC to stay. We want these funds to be available. And I think that's, you know, one way that just as a community and as a county, like our voice can be heard. But yeah, I mean, it's a dire time. And like Bronna was saying, our numbers are going to continue to rise. And so obviously to be able to provide the services that we provide, it's, you know, through grant funding, such as the VOCA grant.
Then Amanda, you know, to be able to contact Senator Gary Peters, then it would be, like you said, very advantageous to kind of let our voice to be heard here in Lenawee County and how important it is for the Lenawee County Child Advocacy Center. Did you say that Senator Stabenow is a sponsor of the bill?
Yeah, she's actually signed on as, I believe, I don't want to get the number wrong, but I
believe there are quite a few co-sponsors, and she is one of the co-sponsors, I believe, of this bill. So,
well, it probably wouldn't be bad to even to contact Senator Debbie Stabenow, just to let her know too, right, Amanda?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think anything would help.
Sure.
And I think a united, hearing a united front, even with someone that's already co-sponsored the bill, is, I think that's a great thing.
Well, we certainly, because of the fact that of how much you've been doing already, Amanda, that shows the need, and also, as you mentioned, and both you and Bronna mentioned about the fact that you expect the numbers to continue to rise even for this year, that how important that funding is going to be, because you can't do what you do without those funds, right, Amanda?
Yeah, that's right, Dale. And, you know, it's not just the interviews that we're doing. We provide free counseling services for all the children that come through the CAC and their families, including their siblings. We provide prevention services for schools. We provide prevention services for organizations in our community, and these things are all done free of charge. We have a support group for adolescent girls called Hope and Grit, and these are all things that we do either through local grants, or like through our VOCA grant. And these are things we're able to provide for these children and families that come through the CAC of no charge, just to help support them in their healing.
And that's it's so important, Bronna, to be able to have those services to be available to the people at no charge, isn't it?
It is, Dale. And why this VOCA grant, I think, has been so successful is because it allows that victim assistance to be administered through local organizations right in their own neighborhoods and local communities. And that's effective. I mean, we can hear, I encourage you really to go to the Lanaway CAC website or learn more about all that they do. When Amanda was talking about the prevention as well, I mean, that's doing the entire continuum, offering counseling for those who have been so they can heal, but even more importantly, getting on the front end so a child can recognize immediately what is safe or not safe and hopefully head off any of that abuse before it starts.
Absolutely.
And that's so very important as well, Amanda, if you can do something in which we as a community can help with the prevention of it, goes a long, long way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's something that we are always willing to go to out into the community and do. I know, obviously, it's been a little tougher to go into the schools the end of last year and then this year just because of all the changing with COVID. Our hopes is that we'll be back in the school systems this upcoming fall if everything continues to kind of go in a positive route. It is still something that if it's an organization or a business that would like some awareness programming for their staff. It's called Darkness to Light. It's a really great program. And that's something that we're able to come out and do with organizations. I mean, we can even do it virtually at this point. They've adapted it because of the COVID situation, so we're able to do those things virtually as well. But prevention is definitely key, as Bronna has said. It's very important that our children, and we have those conversations with our children, but not just the conversations, it's that we're comfortable having those conversations, and it starts as simple as something as body safety. That can be the beginning of conversations that in turn can really help a child to feel confident and comfortable in speaking up if they feel someone may be being inappropriate or it makes them feel uncomfortable, mm-hmm. or in a situation that makes them feel uncomfortable.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and people can also show their support for the prevention of child abuse as well by doing a couple of things, can't they, Amanda?
Absolutely. So some of the things that we're always looking for, at least at the Child Advocacy Center, is we are always looking for volunteers. These are individuals that sit with the families that come in to have interviews. This month alone for Child Abuse Prevention Month, if you go by the CAC, you're going to see a lot of blue pinwheels in our front yard. That's something that we encourage. If you have some pinwheels, or if you have a blue ribbon, if you put it on your porch or your front yard. And we also have information in little packets for families. So if it's something you're interested in, you can reach out to us. And we have some other activities and stuff just to have kind of conversation starters to have those conversations with your children, really about what this month is and why we have a month like this.
Absolutely. And how can they reach out to you then, Amanda?
Yeah, they can reach out to me on my email, and that is adavis@catholiccharitiesjlhc.org. Or they could call me at the office at 517-662-3442, and my extension is 1201.
Okay, once again, the address is adavis@catholiccharitiesjlhc.org, correct?
Correct.
And the phone number, once again, is 517-662-3442. The extension is 1201. I want to thank you so much for being on the program, and hope that we can continue the discussion on this in future programs, because it is so important, and we need to be kept aware of what is happening and what can be done to help with the prevention of child abuse here. And again, April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and State Representative Bronna Colley, thank you so much for being on the program and contributing to the information, and also about the VOCA fixed bill, too. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you for letting me join you today.
Also, Amanda Davis Scott, who is the program director at Lenawee County Child Advocacy Center. Thank you so much for being on the program, and keep up the great work that you are doing.
Thank you, Dale. Thanks for having us again.
This has been the Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gardner, and we'll talk again soon.